Let's just start with a prayer. Father, thank you. We come before you, Lord, to open our hearts, that, Lord, we may be able to hear what you want to communicate to each one of us personally. We each may have different areas of need to hear from you, Lord. And we ask you right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit abilities to communicate with us and to touch our hearts may be able to, Lord, make a difference today in our life. May be able, Lord, to open our eyes and give us, Lord, understanding and wisdom on how to, Lord, make progress in our life, how to grow into unity with you, into the ability to be connected and to manifest in our life, in our physical life, your spiritual life that you put in us. We thank you and praise you in advance for that, for we know that this is your desire, more than we can even know and imagine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this is what we are doing now. We are up to date with the audio in the website. We had 12, 13 days down, but finally I was able to get it fixed. Finally it's working. And so I uploaded those things immediately because they are connected. See, one of the things we had to understand, that generally people take one scripture and they try to squeeze out of that as much as they can. And that's not a bad thing in itself. The thing is, you cannot squeeze everything out that is there by itself. You have to take other scriptures in combination with that, so that you can fill in the gaps that are really not covered in the scripture, but they are related to what you are, the message that is there. Okay, that's what I generally try to do. And that's why often I have to bring back the things that I said before, so that you can be receiving new things in, not in isolation, but in connection to what you heard already, and you don't forget, because that's the problem. You know, we forget what we heard, and we get focused on only that what we are here at the moment. That, unfortunately, is our limited capacity to work with different things at the same time. This is why we need to meditate. See, when you meditate, that's what happens. You connect things together that otherwise you won't, if you just do, you know, you look at the words there that is in front of you, because the Holy Spirit work is to bring to your remembrance the things that you had to remember to make progress. Okay, I know, because that's the way it works with me all the time. You know, and sometimes you get stuff that is amazing that you had never thought that thought before and never saw it anywhere else. See, this is what happens when we learn and we practice that meditation and being in the Word, dwelling in the Word all the time. You know, things suddenly, you know, establish a network of connection between scriptures that otherwise you won't be able to understand that way. Anyway, so what we are really, the big topic is establishing communion with God, which means fellowship with Him, which means that we are connected with Him, which means that we, basically, the only way for that to happen. See, you cannot have one thing behind the other. All these things have to be together. And really what boils down to is to trust Him. If you trust God, then you can connect with him. If you are like the natural man does, afraid, fearful, insecure, you're not going to make that connection. Because even in the physical, you cannot connect with another person unless you trust them. Because you are there in the defensive. Are you following me? If you are not in the defensive for people you don't know, you have a problem. Because you don't know them. Jesus said, you know, I trust no man. If Jesus said that, I mean, if there is somebody that we should learn from, we should learn from him. That's why he came the way he came, like us, with all this different way of doing that we do, completely the same, renouncing the divine attributes and operating like we do. People, they don't understand that. They think Jesus was, God in person. He was. But he limited himself and became like a man in all ways. So that he operated like we do, so that we can learn from him to do the same. We could not learn to be like God. We can learn to be like Jesus. That's what God's plan is for us. It's not to become like God. It's to become like Jesus. Never said that we should be like God. In the Bible. Said we should be transformed and become more and more like him. So that means, you know, we had to learn to operate. I'm not following anything today. We had to learn to operate the way he operated, functioned the way he functions, ministering the way he ministered, choosing, walking the way he chose. And he did that out of his own decision. And I'm not going to read all the scripture because otherwise we are not going to get anything done today. Okay, well, his own decision, he did that so that we can look at him. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to show us what he did. So the Holy Spirit, somebody came and asked me a question, and I think that was the Lord that was trying to emphasize this topic that I wanted to just this morning. See, the Holy Spirit comes to bring us into all truth. Okay. And the Holy Spirit doesn't talk. The Bible often is translated in its own authority. The word authority is not there. Okay. And shouldn't be there. They added it. It says, on himself. See, he doesn't talk about himself. But he talks about Jesus, showing him what Jesus, glorifying Jesus. How one means glorifying Jesus. Showing him what his glory was. That means how he operated so that we can learn to do the same thing. To function the way he functions. To walk the way he walked. And when we do that, then we come in communion with God because that's what he had. And he said, you know, like I am in you and you in me, Father, you know, they may be with me and with you. And so, you know, that's exactly what becoming like Jesus means. That we start walking like he walked, that we have that communion. We realize that we can do nothing in ourselves, but we can do everything in him, because all things are possible to them that believe. And he's talking about people, not talking about other body, because everything was possible with Jesus. Are you following me? See, this is the goal. This is the thing that God put before us so that we can know where we are going. And we have to want to get there, because otherwise, if you don't want to get there, you get somewhere else. Okay, so you need to understand it to be able to know where you go, and then you have to want it to go that way and be ready to, you know, make choices so that you move that way. Anyway, so, you know, the way we achieve that is by two things, okay? Number one, it's God's word. God's word, Jesus was God's word. He is God's word for us. He is our example. He is the explanation. He is the understanding of the God word, you know, implied in made flesh, the incarnation of the word. So we look at Jesus and we look at the word is the same thing. But, you know, if we don't have the spiritual contact with the Holy Spirit, we are not going to get it. So you have to mix together the word with the Holy Spirit. We have to receive things from the Holy Spirit. And last week, I was talking about how we receive things from the Holy Spirit. I think. So that's the way we learn to walk. And the result we experience, okay? And the result we have to experience as we grow, as we open ourselves up to God's working with us, is that we are going to experience more of God's presence in our life, more of His love. Okay? There is no way that we can connect with God, come into experience, if we are not connected to Him by love. God is love, and the only way to connect with Him is us having a love for Him. It says love, you know, first commandment, bottom line. And He said, you know, you cannot love somebody because you are told to do so. Okay. One has to establish a relationship in which this love grows. And that can go one direction or the other. And so it's for us to make choices so that it may grow instead of decreasing. Okay. Everybody talks about the first love. But everybody complains that, you know, they lost the first love. Even, you know, the Ephesians were so advanced, you know, that was, or following as much as possible and having making good decisions, still, you know, Jesus, when He was talking about them, He had warned them that they didn't have the first love anymore. And we are going to possibly talk about that, because the Lord brought me some revelation about that aspect and giving you some scripture about it shows exactly what takes place and why that happens. Okay. So, this is it. We are going to see, okay, being more in communion with God, having more of, that means maybe more of the life of God, the eternal life in us, operating and manifesting in the physical. And that means also that we are going to see more of our prayers answered. Jesus didn't have any problem getting the prayer answered, did he? Why? Because he was Jesus? No. Because he was connected with God. Because he was doing only what he saw the Father doing. And when we learn to do that, that is going to be our experience. The more connected we are, the more our prayer is going to be answered. We have to understand that also the way it works. I'm not going to have the time here. Okay? But we grow. As we grow, we become more like Jesus. In unity and in communion with God, walking free from sin, from the curse, and from any type of bondage. And that is salvation. Okay. How do we get it? That's the point. How we move in that direction. And I started last week on talking about that. How do you connect with the Holy Spirit? How do you should be connecting with the Word and meditating, and so on. But there are some basic logos, some basic ideas that we had to understand and work on and meditate on to be able to appropriate. Okay. Jesus prayed for us for that. That means, you know, for him was the first priority. He wasn't, you know, for the disciples, he didn't pray, you know, for them to get healed or everything else. He prayed for them to be connected with God and with him spiritually. Because everything else comes as a result automatically. You don't need to be praying for healing if the life of God is flowing in you abundantly and is able to transfer from the spirit to the body. It's the natural thing. The life of God cannot be sick. And so if the life of God is operating in your body, then you should be healthy. Okay? Now, sickness is very clear from the Old Testament, is part of the curse of the law. So if you have the life of God inside you, sickness should disappear. We don't see Jesus sick anytime. Okay? And we can see even the disciples, you know, if Paul was sick a few times, but all the time got healed. No matter what the supposedly knowledgeable theologian says. They're very clear in the scripture that what he did, he wasn't a sickly or people person that, you know, couldn't see or couldn't have a problem with the eyes or any other problems. He was complete in victory all the time. He was, I think, sick. I counted out by 5 times or mentioned that, you know, 4 or 5 times, and all the time he got well. Once he was almost killed. They stoned him. You know, to stone somebody, you're going to be pretty sick for quite a while. The following day, he was out in the street preaching. He was bitten by a snake, you know, a viper there where he was taken in Malta. You know, those viper in those things, 15 minutes, you're gone. He just shook it off. And so that's why the people from there said, you know, God is here. It's not God, it's a believer. And the experience he had with Jesus was the critical point that produced in him the enormous change, that from a murderer, he became one of the most powerful people, you know, apostles at the beginning. That's why, you know, understanding is important to experience God. And this is what Jesus wanted us to, and that's what he prayed for us to, and what we need to understand, and we have to be able to have that experiences and more experiences. You can get, you know, you can start to move in that direction by meditation. But I'm not going to talk about that, but you have to be careful about that too. Okay, so what I'm going to do today, to start with, hopefully I can do it. You know, I want to, you know, start seeing the things that you had to do to get there. Maybe, you know, I'm sure that you had some of them done already. The thing is, you have to understand that these things we had to do, okay, is not something that we do and is finished past. It's something that we had to be in it. We had to be in it and have completely appropriated the different steps that we had to take. Okay. What has to happen, okay? Our prayer, our desire, the things that we go before God is really, okay, to understand that there is something that God did and there is something that we have to do. It's always working together. If we are in communion, we have to work together with God. We had to, that means we had to align ourselves up with what he has done already, because he has done it. We had to understand it, and we had to align ourselves up with it. You know, it's not wanting to feel the love of God that we are going to get it. It's not wanting to be in communion with God that we are going to get it. It's not just the want of that. Is the understanding of what God did so that we can have that union with him. The steps that we had to take in the physical and in the spiritual to be able to experience what God wants us to experience. Okay, so let's start with this. We have to pray about that to get the wisdom and revelation to start moving in that direction, because in ourselves we cannot do it. The only way is to get wisdom from God and revelation from God. We need help. We cannot pull ourselves up by in the straps of our boots. Just pull and you go down and go up. Okay, now, so there are things that we have to understand. First of all, we have to understand God's intention, God's desire. See, people often have problem believing that God can heal, can love them. That's the first deception that the enemy put in the mind of people. Okay, God, by choice, created us, and he loves his creation. Doesn't matter how messed up we are, he loves us. If you don't believe that, you are disqualified already. Okay. You have to start believing what the Word of God says. You know, just any scripture, there are many scriptures about that, are very clear, but you know, the enemy uses other scriptures so that people say, oh, you know, God doesn't like sinners. No, God doesn't like sin, not sinners. See, Jesus was sent for sinners. If that's not loving, I mean, that himself ready to go through what he went through for sinners. It's not as love, not, no. We love him because he first loved us. Are you following me? But there are so many scriptures, you know, even just simply John 3:16, you know, for God so loved what? The world. Didn't say, loved so loved Christians. Didn't say, God so loved born again believers. It says, see, God's love is unconditional. Let's say it together. This has to get through our heart skull. You know, God's love is unconditional. That means he loves me. That was weak. I think you have to be more convinced of that. Let's say it again. That means he loves me. Okay. But you know, you have to go around during the day saying that to yourself. Because if you don't do that, you see, that's what you do. You just meditate on the fact that God loves you. Even if you feel, you know, don't feel like it. Okay, that's a beginning. If you don't have that, you have nothing to be standing on. That's your ground on which you have to stand. Now, sometimes that may be difficult to believe because of the circumstances you are in. But your circumstances are not being created by God. We are going to see more of that. We have to understand that so that we can know. Okay? Okay, so says, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, which he loved greatly. Okay. That whoever believes in him, I mean the Son, should not perish but everlasting life. And he is not talking about the question of dying physically and so on. He's talking about spiritually here. Okay. Everlasting life is something that we had to get even before being dying and going to in the tomb if we have to do that. See, everlasting life is the life of God. If somebody is not born again, doesn't have that life. Okay, so we need to have the life of God inside us. If we have the life of God inside us, we have the same life that Jesus had. Okay, so that is very important for us to understand. The following verse says, for God did not send his own Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when we're talking about saving, includes everything that has to do with the things separating us from God. Has everything to do with everything that is sin, weakness, sin, you know, in a, doing the wrong thing, you know, even death. Even physical death. And at the end, that's going to be resolved too. Okay. We have to understand one thing that is in Romans 8:31. Says, if God is for us, God is for you. So that's another thing that you should go around saying and mumbling within ourselves all the time. You know, God is for me. When you don't feel like, you know, things are going the right way, God is for me. He's in my side. He's not against me. He's going to fix the situation that I don't like. Okay? That's the beginning. Okay? You ask yourself, do I really believe that? That God so loved the world, including sinners and myself. That he really is my side. See, that's a starting point. This is first step in the process to come in union with God. Because if you don't believe that, there is no way you can get any closer to him. Okay. I don't like to bet 1, 2, 3 things, but here I want to be so specific and so simplified that, you know, you cannot miss it. So the first things that you had to believe, that you had to stand on, that you had to, you know, be adamant about, is that God loves you the way you are. Amen. That God is for you. You could be the worst sinner in the world. God is for him too, and he wants to set him free, and he wants to save them. That's God's intention. So you have to line up with God's intention, because otherwise you cannot get close to him. If there are things putting you down and saying, oh, God cannot love me, you just say, no, that's devil, that's not what the Bible says. You have to do that if you want to get anywhere. So that's the first step. The second step, we already mentioned that many times, and I keep repeating the scripture all the time, but this is so basic and so important. Then after you accept the idea and you go confessing the idea within yourself and standing in that place that God loves you, is the one that you had to understand that the word is the key for you to get anywhere. So Jesus said in 8:31, John 8:31, Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you have to believe that in the word you can find the truth. The word is going to be revealed to you. the truth that you need to know. And each person can have different truth that they need to know because they are stuck in different places. So the second step there is critical, okay? That you must start to abide in the word. That means you're going to stay there, you're going to dwell in it, you're going to meditate in it, you're going to just because you know a scripture. You know, I know this scripture, I repeated the scripture thousands of times, even preaching. I keep repeating it all the time to myself. Because I had to remember. You see, brings to your remembrance. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what somebody else that tried to move it, allow the Holy Spirit to work on you, has to do. Bring to your remembrance the things that you had to remember. And so, you know, abiding in the Word is abiding with God. It's going to set you free from all bondages. So you have to want to do that. You want to abide. It's not just because you know scriptures. Oh, I know the meaning. No, no, no. You don't know anything yet. Because it's not your logical meaning that all the scripture they got. It's the impact on your spirit and on your heart of the scripture. And when you start doing that, you see that there's stuff there that you never thought possible to be there in the scripture that you read 2,000 times already. I mean, there are things that I read thousands of times that I read last night as I was preparing for this. And suddenly, and more than one, and suddenly I saw exactly what it meant that I never saw it before. And it should happen the same thing for everybody because I'm not any different than that. May have some gifts in that area, but the point is, this is what God wants to do. This is what say, you shall know the truth. Abide in my word, and you shall know the truth. You're not by reading a scripture and leaving it there. You have to abide in it. He's going to bring other scriptures that is line up with that scripture, and he's going to show you some things that the scripture said that you didn't see before because it wasn't really completely expressed there. So, second step to do is abide in the word to get free from all bondage. Are you following me? This is step number two. You should write it down because, actually, if you don't implement it, you are planning to be defeated. Okay? Anybody that does that, start moving in that direction and start getting revelation. And start getting understanding. Okay. Study, apply, meditate on the word. Spend time pondering about what they say. And as you do that, the word is going to take substance. And that substance is going to create faith inside you to receive the things connected to that scripture. So this is the second point, the second standing point. See, they're building up, building up first to give you the basis and then, the pedestal to which to start and to start progressing. Okay. Now, third step. See, this is what God does. There are two sides. Remember that. I'm trying to show. Two sides, God's side and your side. You line up the two and you get dynamite. Okay? Dunamis, supernatural power manifested there, producing physical results. Okay? Now, let's move to the third one. Is it just, the third things that God did is to send Jesus. He sent Jesus. I can't share everything about that not today, but that's okay. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Okay, so the third step or third place to do something is to receive him. Okay, receive him is lambano in this case. Okay, there are two words for receiving, but you know, this is lambano. That means he grab onto that. It's not that, you know, it's not just something that you choose, it's something that you want to get. Because there is an active part in you to receive there. It's not passive. God sent Jesus. That was the part he did. For you is to respond to what he did by taking hold of what Jesus did. Or just taking hold of Jesus in general. All the things. Why? Because you believed in his name. Okay? Believing in his name means that you believed who he was, what he was doing, what is, you know, the name is what the person is. So you believe who he was, and you believe what he came for, you will believe what he has produced, you believe what, you know, he has done for you. Okay? Now, there is a word there that is translated, and give the right to become children of God. So, you know, as a result of that, believing in Jesus, you become a child of God. That means God becomes your father. If God becomes your father, no, he's not just the creator, he's the one that, you know, is attached to you emotionally because he created you. That's why he loves you. See, that is what motivates God to love you even if you stink. Are you with me? Okay? Now, I don't like the translation there. You know, he gave the right to become children of God. You see that word there? And really, the word is exousia. And it's not the right. Okay? It's not, you see, authority is one of the translation, but it's not the most appropriate translation. It's not that you have the authority to say, God, better make me children of your child. So you don't have the authority to go tell God what he has to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there is an inflection of that that translates much better. The Holy Spirit brought to me, and I then went to around check on a big stuff of a Greek word dictionary, and I found out I was completely right. And the word there is the privilege. See, there is a big difference between privilege and authority. Okay? But that's the meaning that that word has. See, that's the Holy Spirit showing us. I mean, there were 50 different words that were translated. I knew before I even got there, there was privilege, the meaning, and I just looked for it until I found it and was right there. Okay, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He brings in the truth. We don't even need a dictionary if we really learn to listen to him. Now, that can confirm what we got. Okay? So, receive Jesus for who he is. Take it. Everything that he has done, that's what God wants you to do. Okay? Take it. And he gives to you the privilege to become his son. Hallelujah. So you have the privilege. You have to start seeing yourself because I took Jesus. I have the privilege of becoming son. Thank you, Lord. You gave me that privilege. Are you following me? You see, that's a good place to be. See, we are talking about positions that you are taking. Spiritual position that you are taking to be able to progress. It's not just, God, please, you know, man. No. You take a spiritual position that puts you in a place in which you are connected in alignment with God's will. Because this is the word. Are you following me? Okay. So, we already took three steps to get closer to God. Okay? First one, you know, God loves you. And it's pretty evident that plans for you to be set free and not to, to have problems and to have all the blessing. You know, second one is really to abide in the word that he has provided. You see, he has provided the word. He's made it available to us. Not only that, it's not just the word in the books and so on. You know, Jesus became the word, so shows us how to get the word in us and to operate the same. So become the word incarnated also. And third one is really to receive Jesus, all the things that he has done for us, so that we can connect with him in a way that we cannot connect with the Father, which is only a spirit, but in a way he is a man. Okay, we can work that. So, let's take a first step. All right. The first step is that Jesus died for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 says clearly, he made him to be, to who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. So that's the fourth step. You know, we have to believe that we are God's righteousness because Jesus took all the mess out of us, so that we can access the Father because we have operating Jesus' righteousness, and it was the great transfer that took place on the cross. Well, didn't take place on the cross. The potential took place on the cross, but unless you accept Jesus, there is no way that you can appropriate that. Okay. So the fact that you align yourself up with Jesus and what he has done, then you become the righteousness of God in him. But it says the righteousness of God in him. So that means in Christ you become the righteousness of God. If you don't, are not in Christ, you are not the righteousness of God. Okay? So you can go through the religious ceremony, the religious words, but if there is not really not a spiritual correspondence there within you, okay, to be line up with yourself, with what Jesus instructed and the word and everything else we said before, there is not an impact. It's not working. Religious people are not saved. They can go to church every Sunday. They can have a PhD in theology. Okay. There is no impact, no forgiveness of sin and all the other consequences. So, you know, believe now that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And in Christ probably is the most important part of all, because if you are in Christ, you know that you are. So this is something good to remember. Okay? We should say it together. You know, this is right 3, 4, 5 sentences, I have 5 years, in which we can see the things we had to go repeating ourselves. That's the starting point. Okay. So let's say it together. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. All right. So we can really rejoice. Okay. See, that's where we get difficulty. That's the point we get stuck. Because of that final part there. In Christ. Because if we don't, then we are not the righteousness of God. And we are not going to line up ourselves with Jesus. And we are not going to be able to manifest the things that Jesus manifested. Okay? This is where we get difficulty, and that's what happens. One of the things that took place is that we are not going to get what we should be getting anymore. And because we do that, we lose ground. We lose results. We lose the first love. It's not a mean that we don't love God anymore, but, you know, why we do that is because we have wrong ideas and wrong doctrines that we are not even able to line up ourselves to be in Christ. and we don't respond to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. They should be changed. See, because the Holy Spirit doesn't expect that we are perfect as soon as we are born again. But he expects us to be listening so that we follow up and change progressively for the things that we have to deal with. He has the priorities according to which we have to operate. Other people trying to disciple you may not have the priority at all, and they may be sticky about stuff that really are unimportant. And the Holy Spirit couldn't care less about dealing with those things. It's something that comes in the past, in the future. Are you following me? So, you know, at the very beginning, the Holy Spirit is going to start talking with you to direct you on the things that you need to change. To the degree that you are obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying, you're going to be in Christ. To the degree that you are not obeying and you find excuses, it doesn't happen just one moment or another, but up over a period of time, the Holy Spirit just wait for you to make some decisions. But he's not going to work for all the things that you want to see happening, because you are not operating the way Jesus operated, which is operating according to what I see my Father doing, I'm doing. That's why he was getting results 100% of the time. Are you following me? This is so important. You know, people lose the first love because of what? Because they just get disappointed. Because they don't get what they expected to get, because the Word says all these things that should happen to you, and you don't start appearing to you anymore. And you are there frustrated. When instead, it's not God's fault. You either got some wrong desire that is stronger than the desire to listen to the Holy Spirit, or got some wrong teaching or some wrong doctrines that tells you about things to do that actually are not lining up at all with, and you are caught up into the things of religion instead of listening to the Holy Spirit and changing the things that are going to make you move. And you get stuck. Okay. So, this is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Before, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the last step of the story. Now, I'm just repeating some of the things that I'm saying before, but I made it in such a way that becomes, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to make it simple, that you have no excuse anymore to justify yourself. Okay? So the thing, you see, John 16:13 says, see, this is what fixed the problem. To walk like Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why I send you another helper who will be with you forever. So you don't have, why Jesus, you don't tell me? No, the Holy Spirit is inside you trying to tell you, and he's there repeating it, but you are hard of hearing, or maybe hard of heart, or hard of something that doesn't let you be obedient and listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. So, you know, John 16:13 says, however, when the Spirit of truth, that's the thing. You see, what the Word is going to bring to you is you shall know the truth. So the Spirit of truth, the one that is going to bring you there, okay? And he does it progressively. He knows exactly where you are. He's God. Okay, he knows where you are better than anybody else, and he's going to tell you personally, because he's a personal God, and he's a personal Holy Spirit, and he's inside you, not somebody else. He's going to be in the other two for what they need. Okay. When I preach, I had to preach for the whole church. Hopefully the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you about the things that you need to hear. Okay? And generally does, because he's imaginative to just make you say words that are going to be effective anyway. Anyway, let me hear. The Spirit of Jesus has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he will speak not on his own. This be not the authority. That's not what it's, you know, he's not speak on his own. I would like to remove authority because it's not in the original. Okay. But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. So what is saying here? That he is speaking not about himself, but he's speaking about what Jesus did, what was Jesus, he was glorifying Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's what you need to know. You don't need to know, you cannot operate, you know, function like the Holy Spirit. You can function like Jesus functioned. So he doesn't give you information about, you know, the Holy Spirit. He gives information about what Jesus did, how you did it, how he did it, so that you can do it too. See, he glorifies him, doesn't glorify himself. And glorify there means actually to tell the glory that manifest, explain the glory that it was in him. Are you getting it? So you must learn fifth step. You, the Holy Spirit will guide you. So you must learn to listen and follow the Holy Spirit guidance. Now, at the beginning, you're going to make some silly mistakes because you have lots of other ideas. But you see, the mistakes are not going to work. And so, you know, you learn from the mistakes because you are listening to the wrong thing. But when the Holy Spirit has one characteristic. He's just stubborn. He gets on a point. See, this is why you should not be afraid to miss it, because he's there on the same thing. Listen, and he's going to, you know, you want to stay there for a year? He's there for a year, and you're still there, and unless, until you move on that point, he's not going to, you're not going to get anywhere. So the only thing to do is to listen and to see what God is saying and what to see what God is doing with you and do it. Okay. So this is, you know, the fifth point. You must listen and follow the Holy Spirit guidance so that you can progress in your spiritual growth. Now, that means to be able to hear, you have to, you know, be open to what he's saying. Okay? It's not your ideas. It's not your desires. I want to repeat that. It's not what you want. It's what he wants. The priority. See, often we have something that is pushing us, that is, we don't like. And we just are so focused on that we stop listening because before we get there, there is something else that we have to do first. Because we love something more. I mean, get rid of the problem than to the love we have for God. Our priorities are, or our values are skewed. And so we end up not listening because we are too focused, too attentive to, we want an answer. In the sequence we want it rather than the sequence the Holy Spirit wants to give it to us. And we had to learn to, you know, love God more than love these other things. Value God more, value the pleasing God more than we value pleasing ourselves. So that creates the platform from which we can operate. Now, those are all the important points. We are going to get much more into this. Okay, let me see. I'm afraid that's all I can do for today. Do you get anything up to now? Yes. Do you see how practical God's plan is? How systematic God put all the pieces together so that we can respond and get closer to Him and be able to start experiencing the things that Jesus experienced? I think that seems to me a pretty good deal. Wouldn't you say? Okay, it's not complicated, it's not difficult, but we need to do. You know, we cannot pray that God does these things. God did all the things that needed to be done before. I show you the part that we had to do one by one, and we had to do them all together. If one is missing, then it doesn't hold together the castle. Okay, everything has to work together, contributing to the final answer, which is actually being us being in communion with God. See, at the beginning, the Holy Spirit expectation from us, since we know nothing, are really little. You know, a new born-again believer is all excited and all things, you know, and God moving and makes miracles sometimes too. But after a while, we drag our feet. And we, you know, heard so many stuff about God that's going to, you know, give you all this stuff and healing and, you know, rich and everything else. You know, God's priority is for your soul to prosper. All the other things are cream on top. And He certainly wants you to experience that, but what counts is, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. See, as your soul prosper, all those things should be there. When our life is not prospering, our soul means it's not prospering. And we have to listen to the Holy Spirit that is going to give us the information that we need. He's going to bring us the truth that we need to know and the things that we have to change so that we are going to be starting to move forward. And the situation changes, not because of your effort, but because of you make the decision that appears that completely unrelated sometimes to the thing you want to see manifested in our life. See, it's not by might or not by power. It's by His Spirit. I remember when the Holy Spirit talked to me about that scripture many years ago. It really hit me really hard. And now I was looking at it again last night, and I saw it even much more than what I ever saw before. How important, you see, how connected to this. You see, how we are so concerned about the physical results, okay, getting healed or getting financial situation resolved or emotional situation. This is the cream, you know, you put on top of the cake. But it's not the issue. The issue is what produced those problems. And He wants to deal with our soul so that the other things are going to fall into place by themselves. Because it's not your power, it's not your strength, it's not your ability. You don't get the result by praying really hard. That's a lot of flesh. Hello? It's by listening, obeying. I want obedience more than sacrifice. I think I should close for today. You think you can apply some of this principle? Okay, good. Well, I hope you do, because it produces results. Okay, makes a difference in our life. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the love that you have for us, that you have for me. I receive it. I believe that you love me so much to send Jesus, not to condemn me, but to save me. That means to deliver me from the curse of the law and all the problem, the sins brought into the world. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the power that you enable us to overcome these things through Jesus' work. Thank you for Jesus. He is my Savior and my Lord. And I'm following him, obeying what the Holy Spirit is guiding me to do. I praise you for that. I receive it. I believe it. And I thank you in Jesus' name for the victory that I see coming as I obey your word and put it to work in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.